In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we hear St. Luke's account of Jesus' first sermon. And gosh, wasn't it short? Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That was it. Not even your Anglican 10 minutes. The sermon, of course, was given in the synagogue. And it may surprise you to learn that the word synagogue is not a Hebrew word at all. It's actually Greek, and it means a place of gathering. It is the word used for the actual building. But when Jewish people tell you where they are going on the Sabbath, they don't say, "I'm going to the synagogue." But in Britain at least, they use a Yiddish word. And they say, "I am going to shul." And this one word, shul, obviously links together worship and teaching. And so Jesus said to the congregation in Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The teaching is not in words, but in a person. Shul happens when people meet Jesus. Let us think for a moment about the way Jesus taught. He doesn't seem to have preached many sermons at all. And he certainly didn't deliver any lectures. Instead, he told stories. Stories that invited you in. We can just imagine what that woman felt like, turning a house upside down as she searched for the lost coin. Or the single stalk of wheat struggling to grow in a patch of weeds. We can see it in our mind's eye. And we feel it. But not only did he tell stories, he also performed miracles. St. John's Gospel calls them signs. The lame walk, the blind see, the forces of evil and chaos are turned back, for instance, when he calmed the storm. And then to pick up the quote from Isaiah, which he used in that, which was in that reading that he read in the synagogue. Another of Jesus' signs is that he let the oppressed go free. He searched out and accepted those who felt oppressed, felt weighed down by burdens of guilt or uncleanness, or the burden of rejection by others. And he took it from them. In telling stories, in the deeds he did, who he spoke to and when, in all of this, Jesus was teaching. But it is, and I speak as an ex-teacher here, it is not the old-fashioned method of the teacher who says to the class, "Be quiet, sit down, I have all the answers, just shut up and listen." That is not how Jesus teaches. Jesus, as I said, invites us in and lets the story, the event, say something to us. Something to us, where we are now in our lives and what's going on around us. His parables are not told to make a single point. They're not like Aesop's fables, where you have the moral in one line at the end. The parables can't be reduced to a single meaning, a single point. And similarly, his miracles are not to be taken at face value. It is a mistake to fence these stories and miracles in, cut off from other people, cut off from their surroundings, both then and now. If you fall into this mistake, you miss that rich variety of meaning that Jesus invites us to find. This is how God is, he shows us. The kingdom of heaven is like, he says, like what? In what he says and what he does, Jesus gives us all the clues we need. And he says, it's over to you. Jesus' teaching is based on a very sound educational principle. Tell me, and I will forget. Show me, and I will understand some of it. Help me to do it for myself, and I will remember. Going back to where we started, in the synagogue, Shul is teaching through worship. In worship, we do not just sit and listen, we take part. And our second reading was all about being the body of Christ and using our bodies, and our bodies being an illustration of what being the church is about. We take part, and that way we become apprentices, learning on the job. Our Sunday liturgy, with, for instance, its changing features and emphases as we progress through the seasons of the year, all of that presents us with opportunities to learn by experience. And because it is shared experience, the experience of the whole body of Christ, it builds up the church as a community. Not only do we tell God's story as recounted in the pages of the Bible, we are also caught up by God's big story. Or at least we are, if we allow ourselves. If the teaching penetrates to the heart and does not just stay in the head. We know in our heads that God forgives sins. But we are given a chance to experience it in our hearts, in the liturgy. We hear those words. You are forgiven. We believe that God can bring good out of evil. And there are many, many examples in the Bible. At the altar, we retell the story of Christ's death. We can experience how that death achieves our salvation. As he is placed into our hands under the form of bread and wine. The truth that he gave himself for us is fulfilled there and then. And if we celebrate and share God's story in our worship, then it follows that we are called to show God's story in the pattern of our lives. We are to be shul for others. When they look at us, hear our story, see what we do, will they feel in their hearts, today the scripture has been fulfilled. We are the body of Christ in the world today. And we end by saying, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Go, you have seen it done here. Go out and be shul to those whom you meet. Amen.